happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Maren Johns.
And it's Pride Month, and we're going to have to talk fast because we have a lot of news and a special guest. In the news, President Biden hosted the biggest LGBTQ Pride celebration ever at the White House and announced new LGBTQ initiatives in the face of a rising tide of anti-LGBTQ legislation and hate.
And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy praised a Nebraska literary figure while unveiling a statue of her, unaware that she's a big old lesbian.
As you will see, Democratic governors in Arizona, Louisiana, Illinois, and Maryland, and more are standing up for LGBTQ rights.
And New York's governor has appointed the first out trans man as a judge in the United States.
The out president of the Los Angeles School Board passionately gives it back to anti-LGBTQ protesters. We have the tape.
And one of America's famous franchise restaurants have faced boycotts from their customers based on their support of Pride.
Yep. Two internationally famous anti-LGBTQ bigots have bitten the dust this week.
And country music's Garth Brooks, who's an icon amongst certain people, has come out in support of our community, and he is now facing backlash.
The government of a Canadian province gets infected with anti-trans fever.
And there has been justice served in Australia over the killing of a young gay man in 1988.
We'll tell you about the most LGBTQ Tony Award ceremony in history, and that is saying something.
That is, and I'll be doing a quick review of a film I've seen called Blue Jean from the UK, which is a fabulous lesbian movie with political themes of resonance to today.
And our guest is Gay USA co-host Christian Cooper on his new memoir, Better Living Through Birding, Notes from a Black Man in the Natural World. Take it away. Welcome, Chris, and take it away, Merritt.
Oh, is Chris here? Where are you, Chris? I hope you're with us.
Ah.
There you are. Hello. Look, I'm going to hold my copy up too. I have savored every, I said in the social media post, every bird and every word in this book. It's, can I just commend you for how beautifully written it is? I so really admired the way you braided so many disparate themes all together.
And your front page, New York Times.
Yeah, look at that.
A guest essay about being a window into the wondrous world of birding.
Well, thank you both.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations on everything. But I guess I wanted to start this conversation with, in a way, where your book ends. Your book kind of ends with a 40-minute Zoom call with Joe Biden, with you endorsing him. You, Chris Cooper, endorsing this bloke. Now that seems like another age, but where do you stand now and how do you feel now about the current political climate?
Oh, well, how I feel about the current political climate. Come on. I watch Gay USA every week. So the climate is wretched. What's been going on in certain states, almost all of them red states. No, but we can take away the almost from that sentence. Is atrocious. It's like the hands of time being turned back. And I say that because there's a chapter in the book where I talk about, you know, my years at Marvel Comics. And I talk about what happened when we brought Marvel's first gay superhero out of the closet and how people were gnashing their teeth and tearing their hair. And it was such a big deal. That was like 1992, something like that. That same comic book, and because it had the words, had a superhero say, "I am gay," between punches that he throws, nothing else. There's no kiss. There's no disrobing. There's no, you know, man-to-man hug. It's just like he says the words, "I am gay." That would make this comic book banned from schools in Florida. It's crazy. It's totally crazy. And what angers me is, you know, these people say, oh, well, we're just standing up for parental rights. No, because there are gay parents and you're not standing up for their rights. And they say, oh, well, we're just trying to protect the children. No, because there are gay children. I was one of them. I knew I was gay from the age of 5. And you're sure as heck not protecting me. So, you know, I think the current situation is awful.
Was it a comic book character who helped you understand your homosexuality?
Yes. When I was very young, like age 5, I had a certain physiological reaction common to young males at the thought of a certain comic book character. And, you know, I knew from that very early age that it was men, not women, that got the juices flowing and the motor going. So, yeah, knew very young.
Yeah, and I just want to throw in there, though, I really love the way you write about women, and I love the way you created female characters in the comic book universe. It's not like you're, you know, you see so many different identities at once. And I just wanted to say to people who have tuned in and who might not know who you are beyond Gay USA, you have, you know, multiple identities. You know, you're a Harvard grad, you're a comic book editor and writer. You are a bird watcher, of course, and that was one of the things that made you drawn into the public eye during a political and racial storm. This incident in Central Park happened on the same day that George Floyd was murdered. Now, you can't make this stuff up. In fact, even though you were in that incident, I'm not sure you were even aware at the time of how it would affect your life. Can you take us through a little bit of what did it do to your life and to you?
Well, no, absolutely. When it was happening, I had no idea that it would have such ramifications. And for one thing, I had no idea because it hadn't happened yet that later that same day, George Floyd would be murdered by a police officer who kept his knee on that man's neck for over 9 minutes. And that, I think, is part of the reason why that incident in Central Park took on more life, because you could see in the morning the bias that runs through American society and culture so deeply and so thoroughly. And then in the afternoon, you could see the fatal consequences of that bias. Right. So I think that's one reason why it took on such a strong life. I had no idea that it would alter the trajectory of things for me so much. I think part of that is my choosing. I sort of felt like, all right, well, this is an opportunity for me to bring some of the things I've been fighting for and advocating for to a larger platform, and I can either crawl under a rock and wait for this to blow over and then go back to what I was doing before, or I can seize this opportunity to have a larger platform to advocate for equality for queer people, advocate for justice for Black people, and to advocate for the birds and protecting the birds and saving their habitats. So I chose the latter.
We've known each other. Right. We've known each other for a long time. You're openly 60 years old. I'm 69. You were once the co-chair of GLAAD when it was still an activist group. So you have all that background. And the book wonderfully talks about the history of fighting for civil rights in your family. You grew up with this.
Yeah. Both my parents marched and my dad got arrested protesting in the civil rights era. And so that was passed on to both me and my sister very organically. Nobody had to say anything. We just grew up knowing that if you see something in the world that's wrong, it is your personal responsibility to try to do something to fix it. I think that's that activist strain just bubbles forth in both me and my sister all the time. It's what got me active and glad. I was like, I can't sit on the sidelines. I got to do something to try to fight these media stereotypes that were spilling all over at the beginning of the AIDS crisis in the media. You know, all these negative stereotypes at the time, and that's kind of what got GLAAD started. That activist streak is constantly popping up, and I wish more people had it, because I think too many people, and my viewers are going to get the, your viewers, our viewers are going to get sick of me saying this because I say it all the time when I'm on the show co-hosting. I sound like a broken record, but we have way more power than we let ourselves believe. We abdicate so much of our personal power to affect change in the world and think, oh, well, it's just me. I can't really do anything to change the course of these big events. Nonsense. We have tremendous power as individuals to affect change. And we let other people with vested interests convince us that we do not have such power. Don't let them fool you. We have the power to make change. Use it.
Yes. In the book, I mean, you really do show what intersectionality is, not just politically, but also spiritually. And I find that the book, the world building of your own life in this book is so powerful. You connect things such as race, politics, gay man's sexual identity, and marriage equality, being a New Yorker, living through 9/11, how Central Park went from Seneca Village, which was a domain for Black people, upwardly mobile, working class Black people, and became whitewashed to become this kind of playground for other kinds of people. All of these dots you connect yourself with Philando Castile. And one of my favorite sections of the book is when you're in Uluru in Australia and you have an epiphany that all things are indeed connected. And this kickstarts some of your most passionate travel expeditions. So thank you for that. I enjoyed it. And I wanted to say all of that just in case people think this is just a book about bird watching, because it's not.
Well, the birds are in there throughout, but you're right. There is a lot of other stuff going on in there. And I do try to sort of weave it together organically as much as I can. Hopefully it was successful. I'm glad you liked the Uluru part. I forgot that you would be here as an Aussie. You would be like, Uluru, woo! And I should also add, when you mentioned, you referenced Philando Castile, for those who don't know, Philando Castile was an African-American who was driving through Minneapolis and pulled over for a routine traffic stop. And he did everything that Black mothers tell their sons to do to survive an encounter with the cops. He was very respectful to the police officer. He, you know, did not take his hands off the steering wheel. He volunteered to the police officer that he had a handgun in the car that was, you know, that he was licensed to carry and that was registered. And he still ended up shot dead by that police officer, despite having committed no crime, with his girlfriend sitting in the seat next to him and a little baby girl sitting in the back seat witnessing the whole thing. And that was pivotal in a change in my thinking, because when I saw that, you know, my mind kept going through, all right, well, if I was in that situation, what would I have done to try to change the outcome, to try to not end up dead? And there was nothing. There was nothing he could have done to avoid that outcome. And at that moment, I decided, you know what? They're going to shoot us dead no matter what we do. And if that's the case, I'm going to go out with my dignity intact. I am not going to be complicit in my own dehumanization. I am not going to twist myself in a pretzel to make some white person more comfortable. This is it. This is me. Deal with it. I will comply only to the extent that the average white person would be expected to comply with the police officer. And as we know from the pandemic and from June 6th, the bar for white people is really, really low for compliance.
Right.
I know, right? That certainly informed your decision to act the way you acted when you were confronted in Central Park by Amy Cooper, who refused to put her dog on a leash. I feel that was incredible. That was your moment. You said, I'm here now. There's only one way for me to act.
Yeah. And, you know, happily, you know, because the consequences could have been pretty dire for that. Happily, they were not. So
we live in a racist society. We live in a homophobic society, transphobic society. And yet you have found great solace throughout your whole life with birding. And
indeed,
the title of the book is Better Living Through Birding. So tell us how we're going to be better if we get out there and do some birding.
I can only tell you what birding does for me. And viewers of Gay USA may know this, because I disappear for the month of May because I can't co-host because I'm busy in the field birding. It's spring migration, and that's like my birding obsession time. when you're birding, you're forced to focus outside yourself. You're forced to look for the birds very carefully, to listen for them, to focus on the natural world around you. And all your woes, all your sort of myopic focus on yourself and whatever's going on with you, you got to let go of that for just a little while and look outside yourself at a bigger world full of all these wonderful feathered creatures. And that is incredibly therapeutic. Just being in nature in a natural setting is incredibly therapeutic. So for anybody who doubts the power, the healing power of birding and being in nature, doubt it no more and check out the book and maybe I'll change your mind.
I just want to say I finished reading the book in the, you probably know it, you must know it, the Hallett Nature Sanctuary at the south end of Central Park. I'd never been there. I'm walking through the park and there's this gate and you go in and you're in a sanctuary. And I put my hearing aids in and I hear the birds singing in the trees that I'd never listened to before because I'm reading Christian Cooper.
There you go. See, Andy, mission accomplished on my part. But yeah, Hallett Sanctuary has been there for decades, if not more. But for a long time, it was closed off to the public. It was purely for the birds. And now they've opened it up with some trails so that people can visit it as well.
Now, should you tell us about the show coming up? Because that's something that positive for you that came out of this incident. Your visibility expanded and you've now been able to bring your identity to a whole new audience. Tell us what we can expect from this show.
So the show is called Extraordinary Birder, and each episode goes to a different location in the United States to look at not only the special birds that are there, but also how the birds and people come into conflict or how they help each other and how we can do better by the birds and ourselves and protecting the birds' environment and thereby helping ourselves. So we start off in Puerto Rico, I think is the first episode. We go to New York, we go to Washington, D.C., which ought to be a state. We go to Puerto Rico, we go to Hawaii. And in each place, you know, we meet these amazing people who are doing incredible things to save the birds. I mean, they took my breath away. That's what the title of the show is about. The title of the show is about the extraordinary birders we meet in the field, in Hawaii, in Puerto Rico, everywhere, who are, some of them are amateurs, like Chris Alieri here in New York, who goes to the Rockaways and protects the cutest New Yorker of all, the absolutely adorable piping plover that is trying against all odds to stay a New Yorker and breed on the beaches of the Rockaways. And he's trying to protect them. So we meet people like him, and he's purely volunteer, just an amateur ornithologist. And then we meet experts who are degreed ornithologists who are doing things in Hawaii to try to save the last of their native birds from extinction. So it's inspiring. Hopefully it's fun. I guess occasionally I'm a little goofy, but we'll see. Hopefully people will like it.
I'm Christian Cooper, and I am a birder.
Look up.
Wow. Bright blue flying across the river.
The inspiring world of birds is all around you.
The fun of birding.
Do you see the owls right there?
Is you never know what you're going to get.
And this guy is getting you up high.
Oh.
And up close.
This is what birding is about.
Extraordinary Birder with Christian Cooper takes flight Saturday, June 17th on Nat Geo Wild.
And thanks for using a hummingbird for the symbol.
And hummingbirds, some of my favorites, only found in the Americas. A lot of people don't know that.
I got called it all my life. Chris, we could talk to you for the whole hour, because really, and get into this rich book that Chris has written. And of course, watch the television series, read Better Living Through Birding. It's a terrific read. You say storytelling is in your blood, and it's true. So thank you so much for everything that you've done. I learned a lot about you. And I hope everybody else will, too.
And hopefully I'll be back soon at guest host at some point.
That'd be great.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
And we'll tell everybody how to get a hold of Chris's book in our email. Mm-hmm. You can Google it online. You'll find it. And also how to connect to the National Geographic series as well. So thank you, Chris. But what a week, Marin.
Oh, wow. It never ends. It's Pride season, of course, so we're doubly busy. So hang in there, viewers, while we skip through a lot of these news items. So, Andy, where do we start?
Well, I mean, let's start with the President of the United States. He hosted the biggest Pride celebration ever. He did it on the White House lawn, you know, and he also, you see the huge, you know, rainbow flag there.
Beautiful.
There are thousands of people invited. So, you know, usually they do it inside. This was great. There was a little incident where crazy trans influencer named, what was her name?
Rose Montoya. I have some thoughts about this, Andy.
She jiggled her breasts in front of everybody, and she's now been banned from the White House. I'm all for people, women, being able to go topless in public if they want to in certain situations, but not men or women at the White House. But anyway, that's a side.
It's an interesting thing because, of course, the right wing has seized upon this and said, well, now you see what happens when you have transgender people, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's right. She came out and said, look, you know, it's not illegal to bare your breasts and be topless in D.C. And of course it's not. But I would just question it as a matter of taste. Why do this at a function that a friendly administration has invited you to? Now, I can imagine her doing it at the state capital of a hostile state where there's anti-LGBTQ legislation.
I think that's the consensus. But this party was supposed to take place earlier on Thursday, and it had to be canceled because of the smoke that was throughout the Northeast. So President Biden was at a press conference with Rishi Sunak, who's the head of the United Kingdom, and he got asked a question about LGBTQ rights, and we're going to run this four-minute tape of the question and his answer.
Laura Barone Lopez with the PBS NewsHour. All over the country, Mr. President, Republican-led states are passing laws, passing anti-LGBTQ, anti-transgender laws that restrict rights in medical care. Intimidation is on the rise. This week, anti-LGBTQ protesters turned violent in California. And also recently, I spoke to the parents of a transgender girl in Texas who told me that they're afraid and that they're considering leaving not just their state, but the country. Sir, why do you think this is happening? And what do you say to parents like the ones that I spoke to those families who are contemplating leaving the country because they don't feel safe anymore?
First of all, maybe quietly when we finish this, you can give me the number of that family, and I will call them, let them know that the president and this administration has their back, and I mean that. Look, as president, I was proud to end the ban on 10 transgender troops in our military, sign the Respect for Marriage Act, strengthen the civil rights protections for LGBT Americans, and advance LGBT human rights around the globe. But our fight is far, far from over because we have some hysterical and, I would argue, prejudiced people who are engaged in all what you see going on around the country. It's an appeal to fear, and it's an appeal that is totally, thoroughly unjustified and ugly. It's wrong for that a person can be married in the morning in the United States and fired in the afternoon by their employer because they are they're gay. It's wrong that the violence and hate crimes targeting LGBTQ people is rising. It's wrong that extreme officials are pushing hateful bills targeting transgender children, terrifying families, and criminalizing doctors. These are our kids. These are our neighbors. It's cruel and it's callous. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids. They're the kids, and our children are the kite strings that hold our national ambitions aloft. It matters a great deal how we treat everyone in this country. And the fact is that I'm announcing today a series of new initiatives that we're taking to protect the LGBT community. We're going to do this at the Four out on the South Lawn. We're having Pride Day. We're going to have to postpone it because of the climate, because of the weather and the pollution out there, because of the fires. But number one, we're going to strengthen the physical safety, dedicated resources, the federal coordination of Better Protect Pride celebrations, marches, community centers, healthcare providers, and small businesses. Secondly, we're addressing civil rights violations. A new coordinator to protect LGBT students from book bans, which make it harder for kids to learn and may violate their civil rights at the same time. We're also engaging in mental health and other supports, more mental health resources and funding to help families support their kids, new efforts to protect LGBTQ kids in foster care, and steps to end the absolute end of LGBTQ homelessness. Congress has to pass, and I'm not giving up on this, just like they told me we couldn't get the Marriage Act passed. Congress must pass the Equality Act and send it to my desk. LGBTQ Americans, especially children, you're loved, you're heard, and this administration has your back, and I mean it. We are not relenting one single second to make sure that they're protected.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I should say that Attorney General Merrick Garland also issued a pride statement, not just a sentiment, but he talked about all the things that the Justice Department is doing to combat anti-gay hatred and combat all these anti-gay laws. But how did the Republicans honor Pride Week, Maren? What did Kevin McCarthy do?
I mean, talk about a display of craven ignorance. He's unveiling the statue of great Pulitzer Prize winning novelist Willa Cather, because she did come from Nebraska and she did write about the frontier experience and was, you know, rewarded and acknowledged for that. But how it could have escaped him that the woman was a lesbian. Her long-term partner, Edith Lewis, was with her from 1908 to 1947. They had a creative partnership. They traveled the world together. And I have no doubt they influenced each other's work. He called her one of the country's most beloved authors, one of America's greatest novelists, a fitting addition to this gallery of great Americans. She was also a great American lesbian.
And let's have an early picture of her if anybody doubts that she was a lesbian.
Yeah.
That's young.
You know, it's so sad to me. The Google prompts, you Google Willa Cather, and the first prompt that comes up says, who was Willa Cather's husband? She didn't have one. You know what I mean?
She preferred in those days when that young picture was taken to be called William.
Yeah.
And they lived in Greenwich Village. I mean, what more do you want? Anyway, Kevin McCarthy is unaware. Maybe he'll be protested now. Well, let's talk about what all that. Look, a lot of news to report from Democratic governors and what they're doing. And a Republican. In Nevada, the Republican governor, Lombardo, signed a bill requiring insurance companies to cover gender-affirming care and for Medicaid to cover it, because he wants to get it's one of these big sports teams into Nevada. I guess it's the Oakland Raiders, I think, to come there. And so he's trying to not seem like a monster. But then in Arizona, Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a bill that would have banned trans students from using school restrooms in accordance with their gender identity. Republicans don't have the 2/3 necessary to override. Hobbs is the one who beat the vile bigot Carrie Lake for governor. And Hobbs said, I will veto every bill that aims to attack and harm children. So,
and similarly in Louisiana, Louisiana's governor has compared Republicans' attacks on the LGBTQ community with the people who oppose the civil rights movement. John Bel Edwards, who is a Democrat, has said that he's going to veto those three bills that target our community, and he will veto any other bills that cross his desk.
In New York City, the Adams administration unveiled a plan to allow individuals to ask the police to reevaluate unsolved cases, including decades-old cold cases, including those involving LGBTQ victims. This was all sparked by the murders of all those gay men who were attributed to drug overdoses, but it turned out to be murders. And in Maryland, Governor Wes Moore, another Democrat, signed an executive order protecting gender-affirming care. He said nobody should have to justify their humanity. He was also the first Maryland governor to formally recognize March 31st as International Transgender Day of Visibility. He just held a pride event at the governor's residence, the first ever to do that. His Republican predecessor, Larry Hogan, considered a moderate, never did.
And what about Governor Pritzker in Illinois? He signed a ban on banning books in libraries. Illinois, I believe, is going to be the first state to make it illegal for libraries to ban books. So it is a landmark bill. He says that libraries are going to lose their funding if they remove books from the shelf based on someone's personal or partisan disapproval.
Right. By the way, we skipped over the big news of the week, which, of course, was all this Trump stuff and, of course, his indictment. But, you know, he's still leading in the polls. And his biggest applause line in his speeches is complaining about transgender insanity. And he turned to the audience. He said, I talk about tax cuts and I get weak applause. And I talk about this. What's with you people? I mean, it's just insane. He also attacked those prosecuting him as thugs and degenerates. I think he was looking in the mirror when he came up with that.
Yeah, that word, the D word.
By the way, House Republicans, as we sit here, are working on banning gender-affirming care in veterans' hospitals and also banning abortion and DEI programs. So they're hard at work with their bigotry.
Well, speaking of veterans, Andy, what about the Department of Defense sounding the alarm that the national climate is now becoming dangerous for LGBTQ service members and their families? Several different people who work at the Pentagon have sounded the alarm about this. And I think there was Gil Cisneros. He's the Pentagon's Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness. They've actually said that our troops are in danger. Some LGBTQ family members have had to move to new bases because the children are being harassed at school.
It's terrible. And there was a Republican senator who this year stood up on a couple of decent things, Tom Tillis of North Carolina. He was condemned by more than 1,000 delegates at the party's annual convention over his support for a modest gun control law and for voting for the Respect for Marriage Act that protected same-sex marriage, which is already legal, and interracial marriages, which were already legal, from the wrath of Clarence Thomas. But that's how his party treated him.
I find that very disturbing. It's almost like the Republican Party don't believe that their own members can have the First Amendment rights. It's like everyone has to move to the right.
Everybody's got a First Amendment right, and if you don't like what somebody says, you can complain about it. But the point is, they're bigots, and they're going to complain because they are a party now wholly dedicated to anti-LGBTQ hatred. All right. Back to New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul has appointed the first out trans man judge in America, naming Seth Marnin to the New York State Court of Claims that handles cases where the parties seek damages versus New York State or state-based entities. He works at Columbia University as the Director of Training and Education Equality and Opportunity and Affirmative Action. He once served as Deputy Director for the Center for HIV Law and Policy. All right. L.A. County created its first LGBTQ commission to advise the Board of Supervisors on policy and approved expanding gender-affirming care for transgender people. That was approved unanimously. But nearby Orange County, on the other hand, banned the flying of the pride flag. Orange had been trending more liberal, but that's disturbing.
Yeah. Also in L.A., are we talking about Jackie Goldberg making a stand for us, or is that jumping ahead a little too
much? Go ahead.
I was very moved. I was very moved by this, and I was very moved by the video of her. I really have never seen an official get so passionate about something. But the Los Angeles School Board, a president, Jackie Goldberg, who is gay herself, gave this very passionate speech on June the 6th addressing this anti-LGBTQ protest that happened outside Satakoi Elementary School, if I pronounce that correctly. And she sort of screams in the video, "How dare you make them afraid because you are." That's what she says about the protesters. And it's not that she's anti-protest. She's anti the inflammatory, irrational, screaming, violent protesters that are making schools unsafe spaces.
Let's listen to her. Let's listen to Jackie.
I read you the entire book. It had one sentence. Families can also be two parents that are mothers and two parents that are fathers. They were told, the parents at that school, that if it was very difficult for their children to be in that room, that they didn't have to be in the room. They announced the assembly. told all the parents, if this is a problem for you, we get it. You know, I've been confronting this issue my entire life. I have been threatened. I have been harassed. I've been denied jobs because of who I am and who I love. But here's what really scares me. When you have 2 or 3 days of this kind of chaos, of people screaming at the top of their lungs, outside a school that read a book with one sentence in it that said, yeah, guess what? Families can include 2 moms and 2 dads. By the way, at the little discussion at the school after that, as soon as the book was over, one of the little girls sitting at my knees said, I have 2 mommies. But a little boy on my other side said, I have 5 grandmas. The idea that there are different kinds of families. The people screaming out at the streets, they didn't get a chance to find out about that because they made a decision based on hearsay. They made a decision based on agitators, not from their community, but from outside their community who saw an opportunity to take advantage of the real fears of people. I want to be very, very, very clear. Nobody has to accept me. I'm not looking for your acceptance. But you better treat me the same way you treat everybody else. That's how we live in this country. You don't have to love me. You don't have to like me. You can think I'm the devil incarnate. But you better treat me like a decent human being because that's how I treat you, even though you don't believe that I have the right to exist. I am very tired of having young people and adults in the LGBT community hear 3 days of yelling and screaming about this. What do you think that did to them? What do you think that did to every gay teacher, every gay custodian, every gay worker in this city, every gay kid? What do you think that did to them? It made them afraid. It made them afraid. How dare you make them afraid because you are.
Wow.
Man, powerful. Right on.
Powerful. And I should say, the board unanimously approved proclaiming the LGBT, proclaiming this LGBTQ Pride Month. October is LGBTQ History Month. October 11th is National Coming Out Day. November 20th is Transgender Day of Visibility. April 12th is the Day of Silence. And the resolution also encourages schools to incorporate LGBTQ plus lessons throughout the year. Wow. So, you know, take that. And meanwhile, in Florida, they're freaking out over the Anne Frank diary graphic adaptation, which includes Anne's actual words about sexual matters and Anne musing about having a girlfriend. The right calls that pornography. Love. It's love.
Right.
Anne would have been 94 years old on June 12th, by the way. And I also should say, because, you know, we shouldn't overlook it. June 12th was also the 7th anniversary of the Pulse Massacre. It's down there in Orlando. And it was marked here in New York and, of course, in Orlando and various mm-hmm. places around the country. We must never forget.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. I want to give a shout out to Fresh Fruit on KFAI in Minneapolis. It's the longest running LGBTQ radio show in the country, broadcasting for 45 years. They've had rotating hosts, of course. You know, Ann and I have been doing this for 26 continuously. And of course, WBAI here in New York has been doing gay radio since before Stonewall. New York State passed legislation to make the state a safe haven for transgender individuals. Mm. Prohibits New York from considering a law from another state that directs a child to be removed from their parent or guardian, et cetera. All these things, that's happening in the blue states. We're trying to be safe havens. New York City did the same thing. And in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer established an LGBTQ commission. Now,
I was going to call you out on this. I want to know a little bit more about this Gallup poll that shows 69% of people oppose trans kids in school sports.
They're making gains. They're making gains on the right on this issue. So now, 69% say they You should only be allowed to compete on sports teams with the sex that you were assigned at birth. It's up from 61% in 2021. Of course, do they really want trans boys wrestling cisgendered girls in sports tournaments? Is that what you're asking for? I mean, it's just nuts. And it's school sports, for God's sakes. It's, you know, what's the problem? 22 states have enacted laws restricting trans athletes from participating in school sports. And, of course, now that I see the Southern Baptists want to ban congregations from their membership if they have women pastors. It's the biggest Protestant denomination in the country. Can we give them some good news?
Well, you know, some good news, you know, it cuts both ways. I was a bit of a fan of this Cracker Barrel story because I'd always thought Cracker Barrel was a terrible thing. You know, you drive past it on the highway, it looks just so down home and hokey. And I'd always heard it was sort of, you know, had racist or white colonialist overtones. But I go poking.
They wouldn't hire gay people.
Right, but go on their website now. They actually do have a diversity and inclusion page in which they talk about their anti-racism and anti-LGBTQ initiatives. So, you know, they're trying, they're doing it. And this Pride, they got one of their famous rocking chairs and they painted it rainbow and put it out there on the porch. And now they're getting the Bud Light type backlash from all of the crackers that have supported them over the years. I mean, you know, they're trying and they're being punished for it. So this is becoming the theme of this Pride, punishing the corporate.
Cracker Barrel has fallen, the Texas Family Project wrote. It has fallen. Where are you people going to eat? I don't want to put too far.
Right.
You know?
I have never eaten there, but you know what? I might now.
let's take it easy, but all right, maybe. Look, heard from a viewer this week in Indiana. In Connersville, population 13,310, a gay man, Alex Keene, 38, who grew up there, founded something called Whitewater Pride in December to organize three Pride events, you know, for the locals. And there was this local couple, Melissa and Andrew Rose, who went around calling themselves Whitewater Groomer Removers to try to you know, get this guy to back down. They called him a child abuser. Of course not. And they harassed the other organizers. This guy, Keene, had to go into hiding. You know, the straight couple.
He's talking about leaving, moving away. And he was trying to do something good. He was trying to unite the community. He was having things like a $50 award for the best drag. Let's have all age games nights, all pretty harmless.
He only came out at age 36 2 years ago.
Because he's probably terrified of the environment he lives in. But this Facebook group said, let's make him famous for trying to groom children. And this is one of the problems with social media.
And, you know, this stuff happens all over the country. But in Colorado Springs, the Pikes Peak Pride was led by our ally, Richard Fierro. He was the hero who stopped the shooter at Club Q last November, which killed about 5 people. He said he was humbled as a straight dude to be asked and said it was a signal that we all need to take the light in. Mm-hmm. All right. In Arizona, a pride flag outside City Hall in Tempe was taken down and burned by a vandal under investigation. The FBI is investigating a bomb threat to an LGBTQ-owned coffee shop nearby. Back in February, the police evacuated that Brick Road Cafe during a drag story hour. In Tempe, a new pride flag was raised.
Yeah. What about here in New York, Andy, in Greenwich Village? We've had dozens of pride flags, those little pride flags from the Stonewall Monument in Christopher Park, which was made a national monument in 2016. These have all been torn down and snapped. I'm surprised, and the locals are surprised too. We didn't used to get this sort of behavior in New York City.
Well, it does happen here too. In Florida, the mayor of Surfside in Miami-Dade County, he opposed flying the rainbow flag for Pride Month, but the town's commission voted 3-2, and they held a flag-raising ceremony. All right. And hey, in Tucker, Georgia, population 36,000, it's an Atlanta suburb, they adopted an ordinance banning discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The vote in there in Georgia was 6-0. The mayor opposed it. He left the room and then they voted when he was gone. And then he came back and said, well, I vote no. So his opposition backfired. We got this news from George Wellborn, and who saw this thing through. It took him a couple of years to do it. It took us 15 years to get a gay rights bill in New York. So keep fighting. 15 cities in Georgia now have protection. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about we better hurry. We don't have to say much about him. Pat Robertson died this week at the age of 93. He built his empire on anti-gay bigotry. After the Pulse massacre in Orlando, he said the best thing to do is sit on the sidelines and let them, the LGBTQ activists and the Muslims, kill themselves. And he blamed hurricanes and 9/11 on us. And that's all the breath I'm going to waste on that pig.
Yep. What a disgrace. Good riddance.
All right. In D.C. at Pride, the stars of Netflix gay Heartstopper series rode on a float.
Adorable.
Aren't they cute? Adorable. And season two of the series premieres on August the 3rd. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where are we going? Oh, talk about Nashville.
Oh, Mr. Garth Brooks. Now, I never understood the fascination with Garth Brooks. I'm not a country music fan particularly, but I do appreciate him standing up to the haters in Tennessee. This man is now running a bars, pubs. He's a publican. And he said the other day that his bar friends in low places, bar and honky-tonk, is going to serve all kinds of beer, the popular beers, any beer you want, including Bud Light. And of course, his followers have all come out and said they're going to burn his music, burn his merch, never listen to him again, delete their collections, whatever. It reminds me of the Dixie Chicks, what happened to them when they spoke out against George Bush and the Iraq War.
Well, you know, he had a lesbian sister who's passed away.
Exactly.
And credits her.
Yeah, he's got a history. People forget that in 2000 he was with George Michael for Equality Rocks. So Garth Brooks, thank you for sticking by our community.
And thank you, our director Rich, for bringing this to my attention. NASCAR seems to be standing up to the phobes, selling rainbow checkered flags, cars, race cars, and these T-shirts emblazoned with the word "Yes Car," picking up on some gay slang. All right, internet. Let's flip through the international news, starting in Australia.
Yes, in Australia, a very old crime from 1988, which involved a young American PhD student, Scott Johnson. He was a mathematician who had come out here. He had been pushed off a cliff. The police tried to cover it up and say that it was suicide when his body was found at the bottom of one of Sydney's scenic points called North Head in Manly, which happened to be a gay beat for gay men of that era. It turns out that an 18-year-old guy named Scott White had actually followed him or joined him at the beat and punched him, had an altercation with him and punched him off the cliff. His family has spent decades, Scott Johnson's family, Dr. Johnson's family, has spent decades trying to bring justice to the memory of their loved one. He had a brilliant and bright future ahead of him. And finally, justice has been served. The perp's name was Scott White. He's now been convicted of murdering Dr. Johnson. He admitted doing it too. 18, and Dr. Johnson was 27 at the time. Homosexuality, by the way, was only decriminalised in Australia in 1984, in New South Wales in 1984, and the atmosphere was very homophobic, and it was actually a sport called poofter bashing. A lot of teenage boys would go out looking for trouble, looking for a gay man to beat up, and I believe this was part of a spate of such attacks during those years.
A lot of them killed, thrown off the cliff, but yep. it was his yep. brother. We should put his picture up there. His brother,
yes.
Steve, who saw this through. He's now 52 years old, I think, right? Saw this thing through. It was a 35-year fight. Okay. Yep. Outright International, our LGBTQ international group, they're calling on the World Bank to suspend loans to the Ugandan government, $5.5 billion in financing. because of the anti-LGBTQ law there. The EU court has ruled that Romania and Ukraine must recognize same-sex couples. I'm just tripping through these things. What about the ACT government in Australia?
Oh, yeah, back in Australia. So the ACT, Australian Capital Territory, that's basically our Washington, D.C. So they introduced a bill in March to protect intersex people. And now the Australian Capital Territory has passed that. It's Australia's first legislation. What it means is intersex children can no longer be intervened with by medical professionals with these irreversible procedures. Basically, intersex people, as you know, are born with characteristics of both sexes, and the practice in Australia, as around the world, used to be to perform surgery on them to push them into one or other of the binary categories. And now there's legislation saying that doesn't have to happen. By the way, in Australia, our favourite acronym is LGBTI. The I has always stood for intersex. So I am proud of my country for being strong advocates for this part of our community.
All right, let's go to Canada. In Ottawa, right-wing Christians and Muslims attacked the local school board for supporting LGBTQ students. It brought out a lot of counter-protesters denouncing transphobic fascist ideology. The fascists encourage little children to stomp and dance on pride flags. A local MP who was on our side got punched, and he said, I'd come again if they were going to go after me because I'm standing up for these kids. And talk about New Brunswick.
Yes, in the province of New Brunswick, which is very, you know, rural, there was a policy put in place in 2020 protecting, giving some students and children transgender rights, but now they've been reversed by the Minister of Education, Bill Hogan. So here's what's changed. Our parents have rights now over the children's pronouns up until the ages of 16. Bathrooms are going back into the binary, so genderless bathrooms are no longer going to be public. And it's no longer up to the student to choose or express their pronouns. All of their activities have to be consistent with the gender identity that was assigned to them at birth. Justin Trudeau has spoken out against this, and he has said that the kids in New Brunswick are being told they don't have the right to be their true selves. So let's see what he does about it. If he can do anything, I'm not sure.
And in British Columbia, at a track meet, a fourth grade track meet, two moms say their 9-year-old daughter was accosted by the grandparent of one of the other kids, saying, "That's a boy. What's that kid? What are they doing there?" Made the kid cry. Called the parents genital mutilators, groomers, and pedophiles. These are the only words they know. The school superintendent said he was going to ban this grandfather and his wife from all school-related events in the future. But wow, if people are out, you're out of control. Stop it.
It's a bit shocking coming from Canada, these stories. It's not my image of Canada. So it just shows that there is this drift to the right in unexpected places.
Iceland is upholding their reputation. They've outlawed conversion therapy in a landslide vote, 53-0. Forcing a child to go to conversion therapy carries a prison sentence of up to 5 years.
I love Iceland. I really do. Good news out of the UK, where homosexuality was partially decriminalised in 1967, gay women often slipped under that radar, whereas gay men were a lot more publicly persecuted. But now you can apply to have anything that was any criminal record that you got as a woman, as a gay woman, as part of your identity. You can apply for a disregard and a pardon for historical gay sex convictions. So there is an application form with guidance notes online if you're one of those people, one of those
in
women.
In Pakistan, the federal Sharia court declared that the law protecting trans rights is un-Islamic, and they struck it down. It was passed in 2018. The court said a person can't change gender based on innermost feeling or self-perceived identity and must adhere to biological sex assigned at birth. There will be an appeal of that. All right. AIDS news?
Yeah, sure. Let's jump in.
In Alaska, actually a Salt Lake City man tried to get a job with the state troopers, and they rescinded it as soon as they found that it was HIV positive, so he is suing. You can't do that.
And you can't do that.
I told you how terrible things are. The HIV/AIDS treatment center there in Kampala is now basically a ghost town, so people aren't getting these services. It's just absolutely terrible. And by the way, the United States has issued a travel advisory for LGBTQ people to Uganda. Don't go.
Don't go. Don't go. Broadway, but in a really
Broadway Bears Pleasure Park from our friends at Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS is on Sunday, June 18th at the Hammerstein Ballroom, a 9:30 and a midnight show. It's a wonderful show. I'm a little getting a little old for it, but I recommend it to you. And New York State passed a Bill of Rights for LGBTQ people and people with living HIV who live in long-term health care facilities, which includes, you know, being treated certainly equally, but also the right to have sex if it's consensual with people in the facility.
And what about this lovely gesture by the world's greatest ever diver, Olympic champion Greg Louganis? Very, very kindly, he is planning to auction off his gold medals. Not because he's broke, we presume, but because he wants to give the money to support LGBTQ causes. He's a five-time medal-winning Olympian, and he's an activist. And he really wants to support HIV, AIDS, and all of our organizations. Thank you so much, Greg.
One of the gold medals can go up for, can go for over $1 million. So, you know. Yeah. All right, some entertainment news. The Tony Awards, did you watch them?
I loved. They were lovely. And might I say, off-script.
Best in memory, no dumb skits. Ariana DeBose, out bisexual, hosted for the second time without a script. History was made. Out non-binary actors won for best actor in a musical. J. Harrison Gee there on the left in Some Like It Hot, and Alex Newell for supporting actor in a musical in Shucked. Sean Hayes won for best actor in a play for Goodnight Oscar, playing Oscar Levant. And out gay Michael Arden won for Best Director of a Musical for Parade, starring Ben Platt. But he got bleeped on CBS when he said, and I'm going to read his statement, "Growing up, I was called the F word more times than I can remember. And now I can say, all I can say now is I'm a faggot with a Tony." I mean, and they bleeped that. I mean, and the crowd went wild. And actors.
But lovely, didn't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, lovely Danae Benton, very sly, very witty. She compared Ron DeSantis to the Klan Grand Wizard, the governor of her state. She's a Floridian, so I'm so thankful she spoke out.
And in accepting, J. Harrison Gee said, "For every trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming human, whoever was told you couldn't be, you couldn't be seen, this is for you." Okay, let's get to Melissa Etheridge and your review.
Yes, well, Melissa Etheridge is coming to Broadway. It will be her Broadway debut. She did do a version of this show off Broadway last year, and it was successful. I think she's probably done a little bit of rewriting, a little bit of tinkering, and brought in some big guns from the Super Bowl halftime to give it some real theatrical boost. But it is now coming to Broadway this fall in September for a limited engagement. It's called Melissa Etheridge, My Window, and it's going to be at Circle in the Square Theatre. So I look forward to that. With great anticipation, Andy.
20 seconds for Blue Jean.
Oh, Blue Jean. So lesbian film you must see out of the UK. It's called Blue Jean, directed by Georgia Oakley. It is about a closeted PE teacher in Margaret Thatcher's England and how Section 28, which is an anti-gay law, affects her life and nearly destroys her career.
I think we're out of time. Bye.